it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
All right. Right now here on Loud and Local, talking to one of the coolest up-and-coming musicians here in the Northwest, Haley Graves. How you doing today?
Good. You? How are you?
Doing good, man. So, we're hanging out here. We're doing things via Zoom. Where are you right now?
I'm in Seattle. I live on Cap Hill.
You live on Capitol Hill? Right on, right on. How long have you lived in that area?
Oh, I think I'm going on my almost second year. Yeah, this summer will be 2 years of living on Capitol Hill. Yeah.
Cool. So where did you grow up?
So I'm originally from a small town in Maine.
Oh, wow. And
yeah, I moved here when I was 18. I'm 21 now. The pandemic makes it feel like it was forever.
Yeah.
I grew up in Maine, and then I moved here when I was 18 and went to college at Cornish.
What brought you to Seattle?
College at Cornish College of the Arts.
Cool. So what attracted you to Cornish?
I got an email saying, like, hey, because of your SAT scores, mind you, my SAT scores were not super great.
Okay.
We would like to have you. And I'm like, I think they just knew I was an art student.
Okay. Nice.
I think they just knew I was a music student because, I don't know. I think they just send that email to everyone. But, yeah, no, I was like, well, I want to be in California. My parents were like, absolutely not. You know, at the time, they were like, you're 18. You are not going to LA for college because that's where I wanted to be. And I'm so glad to this day that they said no to that because – I mean, LA at 18 would not have maybe been the best choice just coming from a small town in Maine.
So what small town in Maine? Let's shout out your small town, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'm from a small town called South Bristol. It has about 800 people, super tiny.
So was there a music scene there? Were there any bands?
Well, yeah, there were a few bands. You know, I'd go on and play with a couple bands like The Gulch. That was my guitar teacher's band. And when I was 18, we did a couple songs together in his band at a few different bars, and that kind of introduced me to the bar scene a little bit more. And I think my last show, my last show before I moved out here, I played at a little restaurant called Coastside, and it's really small. Like, it's a really small bar.
Yeah.
And I promoted the show so well. Mm-hmm. I filled the entire place that it was a fire hazard.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had people basically, like, Coastside's kind of like on a dock, basically. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say it's on the water. And it's not like on a dock, but it's, you know, sure. It's on the water. And there was a lot of people standing outside, and people were getting, like, kind of kicked out, being like, hey, you can't come in. We have too many people.
Yeah.
And so people stood outside and had to, like, watch from the window. And it was, like, a 15-minute set I did. I did, like, 3 or 4 songs, and the bar was just packed. Like, you couldn't walk. Like, you could walk a little, but it was so hard to, like, move. And I'm just like, now if I go back home and play, I don't think I can play in a small venue like that ever again.
Well, I mean, what's quite a going away show, right?
Yeah, it was. It was quite the going away show. Yeah, definitely. I put up posters all over, like, my hometown.
That's awesome.
Nobody did that back then, too. Like, nobody, like, in my hometown did mm-hmm. that kind of thing really for their bands, or if they did, they didn't do it, you know, a lot. And I just remember like making my parents like take me to the different like grocery stores and different like libraries, you know, in the county. Mm-hmm. And I just kept putting up posters left and right. I think I may have even put a QR code on some of them.
Yeah.
That was before, you know, everybody was doing QR codes. Mm-hmm. It was just a really cool time.
That's awesome. So what got you into music? What got you into playing an instrument and wanting to be a rocker? What got you into music?
Do you want the truth or do you want to lie?
Tell me a lie and tell me the truth. Whatever you want to do.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll be honest here. I was really into Justin Bieber when I was
sure.
Old. And he was kind of the reason why I started playing guitar.
You're a believer.
Not anymore.
Okay. Okay.
But when I was 11, I was. And mm-hmm. so I started playing acoustic guitar because of him.
Cool.
And then I switched to electric because I got into Green Day.
Okay. Awesome. Yes. You know what's funny is I got into Green Day too, but I'm a lot older than you. So I got into when I was growing up, my sister got like the like kind of like, you know, teeny bopper magazines that had all the posters with them.
Oh my God.
And she had like Jonathan Taylor Thomas and all these, you know, cute boys. And then she would give me the Green Day posters because she thought they looked weird. And, and so I got into like Dookie and Insomniac and you probably fell in love with like American Idiot, right?
I actually did. Yeah. I actually did. When I was 14, I fell in love with American Idiot. And oh my God, I knew that album inside and out. I think that summer, I spent the entire summer like of my like freshman year of high school, like going into freshman year of high school, spending every day learning every song off American Idiot. And nice. Now I can't fully like listen to that album in one sitting anymore because I think I ruined it for myself. And like that was, you know, like 8 years ago. And like now I'm like, I still can't fully get through the entirety of it. And I think that's why Dookie's probably my favorite album now.
Have you seen Green Day before?
Yeah, I've seen them twice in concert. I saw them in Worcester, Massachusetts at the Dookie Center when I was 16.
And awesome.
I saw them last summer when they came here at the Hella Mega Tour, and I went very, very, very last minute. It was so unplanned. I was like, well, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, you know, my parents are back home in Maine, mm-hmm. and they were like, you know, you don't get out much. Go. Like,
yeah.
Go. And I was like, I don't know. I'm too tired to go. And my parents were like, Haley, just
you got to go.
They're like, you like Green Day. And I was like, but it's like, you know, we're coming out of this pandemic. My parents were like, go, just you like them.
YOLO, just do it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you make this cross country move pretty much the furthest you can get while still being in the continental United States.
Yeah.
The furthest you can get all the way over here to Seattle, Washington. What was your first, what's the first thing you remember about Seattle music? What was your first, you know, musician you met or the first show you went to? What was your first kind of impression of Seattle music?
Wow. I think I have to think back on that for a second.
No problem.
You know, I had joined the Seattle Musicians Facebook group.
Yeah.
When I was 18. And I remember posting in there like, hey, I'm Haley. I'm 18. I'm moving to Seattle. I'm going to college at Cornish. Like, tell me about the rock scene, you know, the pop punk scene. And at the time, Atrocity Girl was looking for another guitar player at the time. And I think they had just been, I don't know if they were just starting out or what their story was at that point. But I know they were looking for another guitar player. And I had said, you know, I was interested, but then I got too tied up with college and I was unable to commit to them and help them out in that way. But we're all still really close friends.
So you got to Seattle and did you get to see any shows? Local shows?
I didn't go to any shows at that time. And that's probably one of my biggest regrets from when I first moved to Seattle.
Okay.
At the time, another band, the High Steppers, they were looking for a sub on guitar.
Yeah. The
guitarist was going to be out. And so I went up and rehearsed with them. And then I ended up spraining my elbow that back home or back to my dorm room. And so I was unable to play with them that show too. So I didn't really get to go out much because I was so tied up with college, but I wish I had made more time to go out and go to shows. And it's hard when you're 18 and there's not a lot of like venue too.
Well, screw that. You're all over the place now. You're playing. You're all over the place. I see you're always promoting shows. You're playing a big one at Alma Mater, the Alma Rooftop on July 15th. That's my birthday, with King Youngblood. And that's down in Tacoma. So, you know, you're always playing shows. When did you first start playing in Seattle?
So I released my first EP a year ago.
Under the name Haley Graves.
Yeah, that was, I think, the most powerful thing for myself that I have done. I think for me, I had just started writing songs, and I think it was a moment where I was like, okay, this is what you want to do. This is what you're going to do. Let's see where it goes. You've been playing guitar a long time. Let's try songwriting. And so I wrote my song, She Thinks My Pop Punk is Cringy. And actually, the summer I moved to Seattle, I also wrote my song Problem. But I never thought I was going to do anything with it. I had it, but I didn't think it was going to be anything. And so when I was writing the EP for She Thinks, I happened to have She Thinks and Problem all ready to go. And I was like, well, this is what we're going to do. And so I recorded the EP with my producer, Amit. And I think playing that first show was at Taking Black Pride last year.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was just a moment where I was not only around like Black people, but I was also around Black queer people.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lack of representation of that in Maine. So for me, it was a moment where I got to just embrace myself. And it was so hot that day too. It was 100 degrees out.
So, you know, you're a part of this, like, wow, that's got to be so so inspiring to be a part of this, you know, community that you're a part of, and you know, an underrepresented communities, and just coming together, and you just coming out and just rocking and playing your tunes, your original tunes. That's a beautiful thing. So congratulations for, you know, feeling that and for getting it going. That's freaking inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that greatly. I don't think the EP was out at that point, and so I had to kind of like leak one of my own songs
on
that show. But it was definitely a moment where I felt so powerful, and I was just like, I'm in front of my own culture finally, because Maine's predominantly white, and so I didn't have any friends who were Black growing up. And so I just remember being on that stage at Taking Black Pride, and it was just a moment for me where I was like, wow, this is what being around other people of color is like.
That's beautiful. That's amazing. And I'm so glad, you know, you found that here in Seattle, especially, you know, such a supportive community for you. And, you know, why don't you shout out some of the friends or musicians or artists you've made here in Seattle?
Totally. Black Ends, I'm going to start.
Yeah.
Is a very close friend. They are super sweet. Very encouraging too. I sent them a video of me playing guitar, that I'm preparing to do at one of my shows soon. And they were like, this is so good. And I think a lot of people in Seattle, I've come to realize, like, they care about the music, less about, you know, if this person is using the right finger on the right fret, kind of thing. And you know, going to music school for a couple years, I dropped out. Going to music school for a couple years, I think it gets really ingrained into us that, you know, if we're not doing it right, we're doing it so wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the passion, you know, it's the passion, and it's not always, you know, the most technically, you know, it doesn't have to be technically perfect, but it's the passion, you know, and that's at least what attracts me, you know, coming from, you know, growing up in punk and hardcore music, you know, a lot of those a lot of those bands, just the three chords, you know, but it's so much energy and passion. So yeah, I love it.
Where I'm at with my guitar playing, I love playing pop punk on guitar. I'm also a little bit of a jazz guitarist.
Oh, awesome.
From time to time, and blues a little bit, I guess. So, you know, I do more than just pop punk on guitar, but that's my main like thing I do when it comes to guitar.
But that's what you love. So what is it about pop punk that you love so much?
For me, it's just the energy.
Yeah.
For me, it's definitely the energy. I feel like because I grew up with a lot of pop music,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, I had that switch to Green Day, which, you know, people debate if Green Day is like pop punk or punk rock. You know, I think they walk a fine line of it. I think kind of growing up, you know, with that and then like, you know, Bieber and kind of like crossing that,
sure,
you kind of end up just falling in love with pop punk once you have a crossover like that.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we're gonna go into one of your songs, and this song is She Thinks My Pop Punk's Cringy, which is one of the debut songs you were talking about from your first couple songs. So I'm curious, who is she? Is this a true story?
It is. It
okay.
Is.
Can you tell me? Are you okay with telling me the story?
I'm open. I had an ex-partner who didn't like my taste in music all that much. And she would always tell me like that it was cringy and like, you know, in a playful way, make fun of it.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what? You think my taste in music is cringy? Fine. I'm going to write a song about it. And so I did. And I actually was talking with a few of my friends, you know, when school had just gotten back in session for the year. And a few of my friends and I were just, you know, talking about our partners. And I was like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend thinks my pop punk is cringy. And I was like, hey, guys, I have the perfect song title. Yeah. I need to go write this song right now. And I'll be back maybe in an hour or two. And so I ran to my dorm room and I think all the lights were off and I turned my phone on to silent. I was like, okay, nobody bother me. And I sat there and I just wrote and it just flowed, you know, it just came to me naturally. And so I remember, I think it was either later that night or the next day, I went to a friend who was in the dorm with me and I went up to them and I said, okay, I wrote a song. It's not great, but I want you to hear it. And I played it for my friend, and my friend was like, this is actually kind of good. And so, and I think the other thing for me, I also played it for my guitar teacher, and mm-hmm. I felt like that was just a powerful moment too, where I was like, hey, we've been working all summer on songwriting. And he basically was like, yeah, this is great. And so he liked it a lot, and it made me really happy that he did. So, yeah.
Well, let's find out who else likes it a lot. That's awesome. Let's play it. All right. So it's KISW's Loud and Local. We're going to play some Haley Graves, and She Thinks My Pop Punk's Cringy. It's Loud and Local here on The Rock.
My girlfriend says she hates him not growing. She thinks I'm gonna stay 18 forever. She hates my guitar when I'm playing too loud. She says, baby, can you please turn it down? I say, okay, whatever you say. My girlfriend hates her setbacks, and she hates my neck deep tea. She hates that I dress like I'm 18, but that's okay with me. She hates my Nintendo Switch and my black and white flannel too. She thinks my pop punk is cringy, and that's okay with me. She said she doesn't like my pizza tattoo. She thinks Parker Canyon and I should get a room. Maybe she's just jealous of my pop punk attitude. Just like I'm 18, but that's okay with me. She hates my Nintendo Switch and my black and white flannel too. She thinks my pop punk is cringy, and that's okay with me. She thinks I'm never ever gonna grow up. And I just laugh and say, fuck you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Haley Graves, she thinks my pop punk's cringy. You heard the story from Haley herself, and now we're gonna be chatting a little bit more about pop punk. So Haley,
yes,
top three. Haley Graves, top three pop punk bands of all time.
My
your favorites.
All Time Low.
Okay.
Neck Deep.
Okay.
And I would probably say The Story So Far or The Wonder Years.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Payday Parade. They should be number one. I literally have them tattooed on my arm.
Who is it?
Mayday Parade.
Mayday Parade.
Have them tattooed on my arm. They should be number one.
There you go. I was just listening to a band called No Pressure, which the singer the singer of Story So Far. It's kind of like his hardcore band.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Very cool. Yeah. Awesome. Right on. Well. Okay. So. You've played a bunch of shows. What have been your favorite venues and favorite shows to play?
Oh boy, I have played a lot of shows over the last year.
Yeah.
So many memories, so many great memories. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple where I've been like, ooh, that didn't go so well. But I think
it's all part of it.
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, you know, I'm just learning, I'm growing, you know, mm-hmm. as I do each show, I'm still figuring out what's working, what's not. But I think my favorite show was at Cafe Racer.
Awesome.
I'm not just saying that because I work there. I really think my favorite show I played was my first headlining show over there. I think the energy was amazing. I had dancers with me, which was so cool.
Nice.
Dancers and pop fun. Super dope.
Yeah.
That was really fun. And then... I think for me, that was my first headlining show.
Wow.
For me, it was just kind of like, I don't know, a big deal in a lot of ways. Because it was like, wow, I'm
here. Only get one first headlining show, and that's your first headlining show. So that's
awesome. And it's where I work too.
And you had dancers. Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. It was that stage though is kind of small for when you have mm-hmm. a full band.
Oh and dancers.
So my guys, they had to bass player and guitarist at the time. They went on the floor and they were playing while the dancers were on stage. I was on stage and my drummer was on stage.
Yeah.
It was quite the setup.
So even though it is Haley Graves. There are other people in Haley Graves. Why don't you introduce us to the people that you play with and how'd you meet them?
So funny story. I don't fully have a committed band.
I've been out,
but I would say it's cool though, because it's, you know, different people I get to meet, different people I get to play with, different people.
Sure.
I have a bass player, Andrew, who is super committed. My guitarist, Hunter, is super committed. And drummers, you know, they're hard to find around here in Seattle.
How do you find them?
Seattle Musicians.
Okay, nice.
Kurt Roy's group.
I like it.
But, and just kind of word of mouth too, you know, just kind of mm-hmm.
Are you looking for a drummer?
I mean, yes.
Because there's a lot of local musicians that listen to this show.
Yes, yes. I am always looking for drummers. I have someone right now who seems to be pretty committed to me, but cool. He headed off to college in September. So that's kind of where that's at. But, you know, in September, I'm going to be taking a little breather from shows and kind of focusing on getting some shows down in LA and getting some
shows,
other places that aren't Seattle or Washington as a whole.
Well, so locally, recently on Facebook, you mentioned that you're never going to straighten your hair again. I got to say, your hair is badass. That is like you can headbang hard with that hair of yours. Like, nice.
Yeah,
that'd be a shame to have to straighten that.
Yeah, no, that was really a time growing up. I think Maine, you know, not to be shady towards Maine here, but I think Maine doesn't have a lot of culture.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a very old county.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the oldest county in Maine. And so it's predominantly white as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people had never really seen, you know, I'm technically biracial and Latinx.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think a lot of people had seen a light-skinned black person before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is true, but I don't think a lot of people had seen someone so comfortable in their identity in that kind of way. And so, you know, I was always different, you know, because of the way I kept my hair. I never straightened it. And I would always constantly get told that I'd look so good with my hair straight, that I should wear my hair up, and all these different things about my hair. And so all those comments kind of stuck with me. And by the time I was 18, I was like, enough is enough. And, you know, this was back when I was like into guys, you know, I'm gay. You know, back when I was like more so into guys than I was into girls, you know, I wanted to look attractive to guys, if that makes any sense.
Oh, I understand.
And I didn't feel pretty enough. Mm-hmm. And so, I had a conversation with someone and they said, well, you know, Washington's pretty white as well. So, you know, you should totally straighten your hair or something like that. Or, you know, there isn't much black representation. It was something along the lines of that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine. You know, if Washington's going to be like Maine, which it is totally not. I was like, if Washington's going to be like Maine, I'm going to go straighten my hair. And keep it straight. And so I went to a salon in Maine and a white woman straightened my hair, didn't know what she was doing. She really just didn't.
Yeah.
And she straightened my hair, cut it while it was straight, which is something you just don't do to Afro Latinx hair or just curly hair in general. She cut it while it was straight. And so when I hopped back in the shower the next day, my hair went back to the way it was.
Okay.
And it was 5 times shorter.
Wow.
So it was a really hard hit because my hair was so long and it was really good for when I was playing guitar and rocking out. It was like one thing about me that I really loved at the time. So now I've had to grow to love, you know, what this is, you know, slowly. I'm getting used to it, but it's definitely days I'll look in the mirror and be like, wow, I miss how my hair used to be.
If you're listening and you know, and everyone's listening and they don't see, but Haley has this badass head of just like luxurious curly red hair and you can just picture it headbanging. So, you know, it's, that's why I just thought it was so cool that you could just own it and just like own your, you know, your personality and yourself. And I just thought it was an awesome thing. So, that's awesome that you can, you know, be so supported in this Northwest music scene and just be yourself. It's a beautiful thing. And like it, like, you know, like you were mentioning with taking black pride and then just being on stage and just owning it all. So congratulations for all of that. It's so cool to see. You know, so recently I saw also, that you were talking about how how weird it is for, you know, artists to put their music on TikTok and, you know, they won't get much traction, but then you do a lip syncing thing. You know, what was your experience with that, if you don't mind?
No, I'm a huge Demi Lovato fan.
Okay.
Demi Lovato, they're my favorite singer. They're my sure. idol. Just, they've been my idols since I was like 10. Mm-hmm. And so I was watching a video of Demi eating a cake. And, you know, for a long time, Demi has had their struggles with eating disorders. They've had, you know, their mm-hmm. struggles with drugs, alcohol. And one of the things Demi has talked about many times is the fact that they had a toxic team where they would control what Demi would eat. And so Demi wrote a song recently called Melon Cake about that. And it's just celebrating the fact that they fired their toxic team and now they're free to eat whatever they want. And
hell,
it's just
yeah.
a celebration of that. Yeah. And so basically Demi recently released a new song. I was watching this video of Demi eating cake and it had like the title of the song in the background. And I was just, you know, making this little like duet video on TikTok. And like a duet is where like the screen is split.
Yep. Yep.
And so I'm like reacting, like cheering Demi on, being like, yeah, eat the cake. That's so awesome. Like, you know, just cheering yeah. me on. And I posted it. And I think I checked back like 3 hours later and it had 1,300 views. And I was like, okay, like some of my TikToks have popped off on just some random stuff. And then about 24 hours later, I popped back on TikTok. Next thing I know, this thing has like 5,000, 6,000 views. And it blew my mind. And I was like, well, I wonder what would happen if I just like post a video of me playing guitar right now, since like this video is like popping off.
Sure.
And so I posted a video of me playing guitar and it got like 100 views.
Okay.
And I was like, really? A video of me reacting to a celebrity eating cake?
Well, you know what they like now.
Yeah, that's what I've come to realize. And it seems to be a lot of videos of me reacting to Demi Lovato seem to pop off. So that's exciting. Currently, that video, I looked at it about an hour or two ago, has 12,300 views at this moment in time.
All right. So make way for the Haley Reacts influencer TikTok and YouTube channel.
Apparently. Apparently.
So July 15th, again, with King Youngblood at the Alma Rooftop in Tacoma. What do you got going on this summer? What are you looking forward to this summer in Seattle?
This summer, you know, well, as we are recording this interview, I'm looking forward to Pride. I'm looking yeah. forward to Barboza. I'm looking forward to just being in Seattle with everything opened up, because mm-hmm. I've been here since, you know, 6 months before the pandemic. So I've had 2 years of everything being on lockdown.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of exciting to be like, wow, I get to experience Seattle as a whole.
Yep.
You know, I don't have anything too set in stone right now, but definitely taking some time this summer and just kind of soaking it all in and just enjoying, you know, what Seattle has to offer that I didn't get to see before COVID happened.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to seeing you again July 15th in Tacoma. And if you want to stay updated, you can follow Haley Graves on all the social medias. Is there ones that you prefer to post to? TikTok? You know, Twitter, Instagram, what are your preferred ways that people follow you?
Is my favorite.
Instagram.
It's
okay.
Haley Graves Official. Everything is Haley Graves Official.
Cool. Right on. Well, you have the most pop punk name, aka like Haley from Paramore, you know?
Yes, I get that often. Haley has such a cool way of spelling her name, though. Haley Williams is so cool.
Very cool. All right. Well, we're actually going to play a song here. And this one is called Pop Punk Princess. Do you have a story about this one? Is this dedicated to another partner?
Yes, I have a story about this song. I met this girl online because, you know, it's 2022. And
that's how you meet people. Yeah.
And actually, Good Charlotte reposted one of her videos on their Instagram. And one of my friends, who actually was my roommate at the time, he was like, send her a message. Like, don't be afraid to do that. And so I did. And, you know, we talked for a while. And then I was like, I could write a song about this. This is, you know, this is intriguing. And I went to bed one night and I woke up with the first line of like pop punk princess in my head. And I was like, no, 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 no. That's really cringy. Like, that's no, this is not happening. And so for 3 days, the hey, beautiful, what's your name was just in my head for so long, as well as the chorus. And I was like, okay, I'm going to write this. So I sat down on the couch and just I wrote it. And one of my friends helped me kind of write the song a little better. Basically, she helped co-write it and we came up with some better lines than what I originally had, and we brought the story to life. Amit played bass on the song as well, which was super cool. And yeah, it's probably my favorite song, which is so funny because for so long I was so scared about performing it. But now it's my favorite.
All right, well, here's Pop Punk Princess. Catch Haley at July 15th in Tacoma at Alma Rooftop. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, beautiful, what's your name? I wanna know you get inside your brain. Tell me everything about yourself. I wanna know you like no one else.
Hey, beautiful, tell me your name. I see you coming closer over my way.
She's a pop-up princess. Every skater boy's been dressed. I can never ask for less. She's gonna dance away the stress. She's got long hair and tattoos. I think I wanna make a move. She's a pop-up princess and I can never ask for less.
She shows up to work in ripped jeans. They're all torn up from the seams. But what she doesn't see is that I hope she's into me.
She's a pop-up princess. Every skater boy's mistress. I could never ask for less. She's no damsel to make me stress. She's got long hair and tattoos. I think I wanna make a move. She's a pop-up princess. And I could never ask for less. I've never met a girl so beautiful.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.